You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
11 players on one side, 11 players on the other side. A big piece of grass, a couple of goals and one ball. The aim of the game is to score the most goals in those big looking holes guarded by glove trolls.
He shoots, he scores, goal.
Scoring the goals.
He shoots, he scores, goal.
Scoring the goals.
Hello and welcome to the League Podcast with William Hill. Alex Dunn and Jack Critchley are with you on this edition to look ahead to Leagues 1 and 2. On Saturday, Saturday the 16th of April, a pivotal weekend perhaps for some sides. We're going to get going on three games in League 1 and three in League 2 in just a moment. But firstly, I will welcome to the podcast my pundit, Jack Critchley. Good afternoon, Jack.
Good afternoon. How are you?
Yeah, not so bad. Not so bad, thank you. We've got key games at both ends of the table to get to in just a minute. I mentioned this on the on the other podcast being the Championship edition of the same podcast with Pete Farries punditing and myself presenting. That's above us on the playlist here if you want to hear Pete's best bet in the Championship. We'll go into League One then, and we're going to start with Colchester against Peterborough this week, Jack. Pretty big game, this. Colchester in 23rd. They need to win to have any chance of getting out of the drop zone. Of course, Crewe underneath them have already gone. They are 8 points from safety, but Shrewsbury do have games in hand. Fleetwood have got a game in hand over Blackpool, at least, who are also on 46 points. 47 then for Oldham. It's looking a bit bleak for Colchester. That said, they've managed to pick up 10 points from the last four games. Some big results in there. That win at Blackpool will have done them plenty of favours and, more importantly, done Blackpool no favours whatsoever. But Colchester have to continue that form. There's only five games left now. It does look bleak, but they're 6-4 to win this. The draw is 13-5. And Peterborough, who I haven't even mentioned yet, are very much mid-table. 54 points. They won't be going up or down, and there could be a school of thought that they're already on their holidays. Lost at Fleetwood and at home to Rochdale in recent weeks. Peterborough in the betting at 13-8, Jack.
Yeah, well, I think there's a reason why you barely mentioned Peterborough, because, yeah, that's it for them, really. They can't do anything. And I think Colchester are going to have a lot of fight here. You mentioned the good run that they've been on. They picked 10 points from a possible 12. And they've only conceded one goal in that time as well. And you look at the sides that they've been playing. Yes, Blackpool and Doncaster are down there, of course. But a 0-0 draw at home to Millwall is a very good result, because Millwall are the fourth best away team in the league. A 1-0 win away at Coventry. Well, Coventry are up there, but they're on a poor run. But it's still a good result, whichever way you look at it. And go back five results, and you get the 3-3 draw at home to Wigan, who, of course, are pulling clear now at the top of the table. So Colchester are not without a chance of staying up. It's going to be really tight down there. And as a Blackpool fan, I'm very, very worried indeed, because we've played more than everybody else. You mentioned Shrewsbury with their games in hand, that they've got Walsall, Millwall and Bradford still to play. So it's a tough run in for them. But I think Colchester can win here. Peterborough, two defeats in a row, a poor 2-0 defeat away at Fleetwood. They were awful that day, apparently. They missed a penalty as well. And then they lost at home to Rochdale, a match which I saw highlights of. They looked all right in fits and starts, but they still look very, very ropey at the back. And I think Colchester can take advantage of that. Colchester played some good stuff at Blackpool. They passed it around nicely. They got a goal. They hit the post as well, so it could have been much, much more. And they never really looked like conceding. So Colchester, I think, at 6-4, are a really good price here. I know it's obviously taken into account league positions, but the run that they're on, they've clearly got something about them. And they have done this throughout the season. Long losing runs followed by unbeaten runs. So I would be taking Colchester at 6-4 here against a poor Peterborough side who really need to improve next season. Graham Wesley's already said that he wants promotion, which is ambitious considering where they finished this season. Goal scorer-wise, Colchester don't score a lot. They tend to win 1-0 when they do. But Gavin Massey hit the post against Blackpool on Saturday. He's always worth a bet any time at 21-10. I think this will be fairly low scoring as well. Peterborough haven't been scoring too many on the road, and Colchester have tended to keep it tight. So I think you're looking at definitely under 2.5 here, which is available at 6-5, which is a better price than I expected. So I'd like that. And one other bet, if you aren't entirely convinced that Colchester can do it, 8-11 is not the worst price in the world to take a draw no bet about the home team here.
Okay, Colchester getting the vote in that. What I would say is, I know you mentioned Peterborough for next year and the possibility of promotion being bandied around. They were in good shape this season, and it seemed to be when they lost to West Brom in the FA Cup replay that things just started to unravel a little bit. Maybe they took their eye off the ball, I'm not sure, but...
Went wrong there, didn't it?
Yeah,
I don't know what it was.
Just if you go back far enough, they were actually in decent enough form. Then they lost to West Brom and then went on to lose, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 of their next 7, which obviously won't have helped them.
No.
Not the only thing to blame, certainly, but just something maybe to factor in.
Yeah, they've shown it in fits and starts as well. I mean, the 1-1 draw away at Wigan wasn't bad. They lost at Port Vale, but then they beat Doncaster. They beat Crewe, obviously, who are now relegated, and they beat Coventry. So they went on a mini run there. You know, they're not a bad side, but away from home, I'm not sure I'd be trusting them against a side that need to throw absolutely everything at it now. Otherwise, they are going down to League Two, I'm afraid. I just think that the spirit that Colchester have shown in recent weeks and the fight will be more than Peterborough can probably be bothered giving. I watched the highlights of that defeat away at Fleetwood, and Peterborough were really poor that day. And if they show anything like that, then they will get rolled over here.
OK, next up is a huge game for Burton and Barnsley. Burton are 13-10, the draw is 11-5, and the away side Barnsley are also 11-5. Burton in second, in pretty poor form. They've looked rock solid all season, but they're without a win in 4 now. They drew 0-0 at home to Oldham, lost 2-0 at Millwall, drew 1-1 at home to Bury, and lost 1-0 at Scunthorpe. Barnsley, we mentioned, have been in superb form since, pretty much November. They won the Johnson's Paint Trophy, but then last week they lost at home to Chesterfield, but bounced back in midweek with a win at home to Oldham. They're 3 points off Gillingham, who currently occupy the final playoff spot. There's plenty more football to be played, even though there's only 5 games left in that hunt for the playoffs. But Burton will want to win here. It wouldn't necessarily guarantee them a spot in the Championship next season. But Walsall, who are currently in third, have got a game in hand, but are 5 points behind Burton. It's a must-not-lose, I would say, for the home side. But as things stand, in their current form, a draw is probably the most likely result here.
Yeah, I think it probably is. I think you are looking towards a draw, really. Barnsley are a good side. They're a really good side, and they won the JPT. And yes, they lost against Chesterfield. Chesterfield, obviously, another side down the bottom, fighting for their lives. Many suggested that perhaps there was a little bit of champagne, shall we say, still in the system of the Barnsley players in that defeat, especially as they went ahead and then lost it late on. So perhaps tiredness had crept in. But they came back. They would beat Oldham 2-1. And Oldham are a very good side at the moment. Yes, they're down the bottom as well, but they put together a nice little run in which they haven't been conceding at all. They held Burton to a 0-0 draw as well. And Barnsley still managed to put 2 past Oldham. And back on the score sheet as well for Sam Winnall, who's another player who goes on little runs and tends to score in patches throughout the season. A very good striker when he's on form. So I'd be looking at the draw here. If you wanted a very short price, Barnsley plus a goal, 4-7 on the handicap market. And if you are a fan of looking at the draw no bet market, Burton 6-10, Barnsley 5-4. I'd much rather be on the Tykes there, the away side at 5-4, a much better price. But inevitably, I think this one will end up all square. 3 of Burton's last 4 home games have gone that way. 0-0 with both Oldham and Walsall, and 1-1 with Bury. They beat Fleetwood as well, but Fleetwood aren't great travellers. And from what I can hear from the Burton camp, it's not all fun and games there at the moment. The feeling is they're not doing enough moving forward. They're fine in defence. They've got the best defensive record in the league. They're fairly solid, but creatively, they're not doing enough at the moment, which makes me think perhaps it will be fairly comfortable for the Barnsley defenders to deal with them. Burton have scored just 1 goal in the last 4 matches, which is very unlike them. And I think they'll struggle to get the better of Barnsley, who've won their last three away games. They've won at Walsall, which, again, they're up there. They won at Fleetwood, who are not a bad home side. They're certainly better than they are on the road. And then the most impressive, I feel, was the 1-0 win away at Port Vale. Yes, Port Vale have got nothing to play for now, but they're hard to beat at Vale Park. And Barnsley did really well there. And as we mentioned, a couple of blots on the copybook. The Chesterfield one, yes. And the strange defeat to Southend 2-0 at home when Manier would have expected them to win that. I do feel as though we've got to side with the draw, but Barnsley definitely on the draw, no bet. As he scored twice in midweek, and as he tends to score in patches, as I mentioned, Sam Winnall anytime, 8-5, is certainly my preferred price here. If you want a slightly bigger one, you can probably move down to Conor Hourihane, who is, well, he's a free kick taker and scores plenty from midfield. He's 100-30. And a player that I always like to score for Burton as well is Mark Duffy, 17-5 for him anytime. I'm not sure we'll see too many goals in this one, in all honesty. I think this one will be fairly tight. Burton don't concede a lot, and they're also having problems scoring at the other end. So, like the other one, under 2.5. A little short here, perhaps, but 6-10 you can get for that one.
OK, next up, and the final game we're going to look at in League One, is Coventry against Millwall. Coventry are 2-1, the draw 9-4, and Millwall are 11-8. Coventry in 13th spot, their form has taken a bit of a nosedive, let's be honest, in recent weeks, whereas Millwall remain 5th. They're in the playoff places, they've had a pretty solid season as well, but although away from home they have been pretty good on the whole this season, they're now without a win in 4 on the road. And although Coventry's home form, again, they're without a win in 4 at home, hasn't been fantastic of late, this looks a pretty tricky one to call. Millwall, though, the favourites.
Yeah, I think they're quite rightly favourites as well. I like Millwall. I think they were. I mean, I think they've done really well this season. I think the spirit that they've got in the camp is really good. I hear good things about Steve Morrison as well, being fairly influential with the younger players. And Neil Harris seems to have got a good, lively young squad and something to cheer for the fans there. And if they end up in the playoffs, which I'm sure they will, I think they'll be really tough to beat. You look at the away games, you did mention that they've not been great on the road recently, but the 0-0 draw at Colchester, we've talked about Colchester already, they're fighting for their lives. 1-0 defeat away at Bradford, fourth best home record in the league, very hard to get anything from West Yorkshire when you visit Bradford. The 2-2 draw with Swindon, yeah, that's probably poor considering their recent form. And so is the 1-1 draw at Doncaster. But I've still got to side with them, I think, here. 11-8 is too good a price to ignore, particularly considering Coventry's recent struggles here. What to make of Coventry? Well, they've slipped away dramatically and now find themselves in 13th position. A really poor season. Especially the second half, so much expectation early on. There are several explanations, perhaps the absence of Adam Armstrong lacking goals when he was injured, perhaps the Ryan Kent going back to Liverpool was partly to blame to disrupt the team. There are several ways you could look at it, but they've only scored one goal in the last four home games, and that was against Fleetwood, who we've already mentioned have the third worst away record in the league, and they somehow beat them 2-1. Rochdale came here and took all 3 points. Colchester came here and took all 3 points. And an out-of-form Swindon side could only get a goalless draw here. So I think you've got to side with Millwall here. I really cannot back Coventry in their current form. So 11-8 for Millwall. Several goal scorers you could look at. Lee Gregory, 13-10. He's been, again, pretty good recently. And Steve Morrison, you could pretty much back the front two for Millwall in each game and probably, I would say, have turned a profit this season. So both of them look likely to score. Millwall minus a goal at 7-2 is one you could look at, but is perhaps a touch ambitious, as we mentioned, considering their recent away form. I do like the overs here as well. Over 2.5 is even money. As Coventry, even though they've only scored one goal in their last four home games, could be capable of nicking one here. And I think if you want a really short price, certainly I think we'll see a goal in the first half. The first half over 0.5 is 4-11 if you fancy a short price. 7-10, yes, a short price, but for Millwall to win either half of this match, I think is a decent bet as well. So it's got to be Millwall here.
OK, Millwall getting the thumbs up in the final game we're going to focus on in League One. We'll move to League Two then, where the first game is Portsmouth taking on Plymouth. Portsmouth currently sit in sixth and Plymouth in fifth, but that doesn't tell the whole story. Portsmouth now won three on the spin and have only conceded one goal in the process, scoring nine, whereas Plymouth have slipped up a little and have gone from looking up to looking down pretty quickly. They've lost at Exeter and at home to Wimbledon. Both sides pretty much guaranteed of a spot in the playoffs, barring complete and utter collapse. But again, both will be looking up at those automatic spots. And Accrington, who currently occupy third spot, and thinking, ooh, we'd have to win this, really, to have any chance of doing that. Portsmouth are in the betting at 17-20. The draw is 12-5. And Plymouth are 17-5, Jack.
Yeah, it's got to be the home side here. Portsmouth, I think they'll be probably a cornerstone of many accumulators this weekend. 17-20, not really too bad a price considering how they've been recently. They came back from 1-0 down against Dagenham last weekend to win 4-1. They've got plenty of goals in them, and I think that's what makes the difference here. Plymouth had a good season under Derek Adams, make no mistake about it, but they're just sort of struggling a little now. Perhaps the exertions of the season as a whole are catching up on them. They've won just two of their last eight games. And if you look at who they beat, they narrowly squeezed past York, who are pretty much guaranteed a place in the National League next season. And they beat Morecambe away. Morecambe are in a dreadful run. Jim Bentley under pressure there at the Globe Arena. So I don't think it's been a great run for Plymouth. They lost to Luton. They lost to Accrington, which is a game they obviously didn't want to lose because, as you mentioned, Accrington are right in the mix. They lost away at Barnet. They lost away at Exeter, which was their Devon derby. So another poor result. And then this 2-1 reverse at home to Wimbledon last weekend, wasn't great either. So it all plays into Portsmouth's hands, who have lost just 1-8, a really strange defeat to Newport. They put four past Notts County here. They also squeezed past Carlisle, and then the aforementioned 4-1 win at Dagenham. I think they'll be too good here. I think they'll be too powerful. They have too many options going forward, really, for Plymouth. So they could easily change it. Mark McNulty, Michael Smith, you could look at either of those. They also have Connor Chaplin as well, who's obviously a younger player coming through. Connor Wilkinson on loan from Bolton. Then they've got Gary Roberts and Adam McGurk and Cal Bennett. The list goes on. Even players like Gareth Evans come on and score. And Christian Burgess up from centre-half has scored a couple lately as well. There's plenty of goals running through this team, and I think it will be too much for Plymouth. If you did want a Plymouth goal scorer, Jamil Matt on loan from Fleetwood has scored a couple in his last few games. He's 12-5 any time. He's certainly not beyond scoring here. It's tough to pick a Portsmouth goal scorer because we don't really know the starting lineup. Paul Cook has rotated quite a lot this season. But I'm going to say that Cal Bennett has come into form, and on the wing, he always stands a chance of cutting inside and unleashing one. And 14-5, I think, is not a bad price for him to score any time. Again, I think we're looking at goals here because Plymouth have leaked a few recently and Portsmouth just have been scoring plenty as well. I think it will possibly start tight but then open up as we get into the second half. Over 2.5 goals here is quite a generous 23-20 if you fancy taking that. If you wanted to go one step further, very ambitious, but over 3.5 is 3-1. 4-9 is very short for Portsmouth to win either half. But I do like 8-5 about both teams to score, yes, and over 2.5 goals. 8-5, I think, is a really good bet for that one.
OK, next up is Bristol Rovers against Yeovil. Bristol Rovers are 2-5, the draw 17-5, and Yeovil are 15-2. Very, very short price on Bristol Rovers here, but they are fourth, and they're another other side, looking up at Accrington and Oxford and thinking, we can catch you. They did draw at Northampton last time, and that's probably a positive result, all things considered. And Yeovil, though they are struggling in 20th, they are safe from relegation. 13 points clear of York, who, along with Dagenham, look pretty scuppered at the bottom of the table. So Bristol Rovers, very, very short price, but very hard to look past here, aren't they?
They absolutely are, and I think the way to do this is to look on the handicaps. And I often say this when I'm talking to you, often pick a team and say, oh, handicaps, I don't know if I trust them to win by such a margin. But with Bristol Rovers, I do. Bristol Rovers minus a goal is even money, which I think is a really good price, actually. They score a lot of goals. They put two past Northampton when they were 2-0 down. They're a good side, and they have plenty of goal scorers, and Matty Taylor's had a brilliant season. You look at their last two home games, 3-0 against Crawley, 3-0 against Cambridge, and then earlier, if you go back four matches, they beat Wimbledon 3-1 as well. They've got the third best home record in the division, and they've scored 34 of their 66 goals here. They're averaging just under 2 goals a match, whereas Yeovil, they're averaging only 0.75 goals a match away from home, which is really poor. They are safe, as you mentioned. They had a good little run in which they tightened things up when Darren Way got there, and that was enough to keep them in the division and stop a third successive relegation, which would have been awful, and probably some sort of record, I imagine, as well. But, yeah, Bristol Rovers have scored in the last 14 home games, so they're absolutely going to net here. And I think they're going to get a couple. So I would say Bristol Rovers minus a goal, even money, is a fantastic price for that. Bristol Rovers to win both halves at 19-10, you could take as well. And the over 2.5 goals is still a good price, actually, at 10-11. I expected a lot shorter, all things considered. Correct score bets, I don't really like them, but considering they've won the last two home games 3-0, 15-2, I wouldn't put you off. Bristol Rovers 3-0 again. And for goal scorers, Matthew Taylor or Matty Taylor, whichever way you, depending on how you know how well you know him, 4-5 any time is short, but definitely worth taking because he's been on the score sheet recently. The only other one really is Billy Bowden, 15-8, scored a couple of goals from midfield. So I like Bristol Rovers here. I like him a lot. I like him to get a couple of goals, and I like him to win by a goal or two on the handicap. -1, even money.
Okay. The final game we're going to focus on is Oxford against Luton. Another short price home side here. Oxford are 2-5, the draw 17-5, and Luton are 15-2. Oxford in second. They know that a win will edge them ever closer to the, well, to League One, basically. They're going to finish in second if they continue their impressive recent form. Yes, they drop points home to Stevenage and at Cambridge, but then they bounce back with an emphatic win at Crawley at the weekend. They went 1-0 down in that game and came back to win 5-1, and they host a Luton side that is very, very much mid-table. Yes, they're 6 points off the playoffs, but they're also 7 teams off the playoffs, and it looks very, very unlikely, even though they did beat Dagenham last week. Were we on the holidays yet? That said, I don't think they deserve to be quite as big as 15-2 here. Oxford aside, who are consistently a very, very short price. Yes, they should be winning this, and yes, they pretty much have to win this, Jack. Mm. They're a little bit short for my liking.
You called it exactly how I was looking at this. They haven't got great home form. They're so much better away from the Kassam. And to be that short against a team who are better on the road, you've got a team that are better on the road playing a team that are not so good at home, yet the prices are just a little odd on this one. And if you look at the handicaps, I wouldn't put you off backing Luton plus a goal at 19-10. If you want a very short price for your accumulators, Luton plus 2 goals is 8-13, which is perhaps still worth considering. Yes, as you say, Oxford should win this, considering the position of the two sides. Luton got a victory over Dagenham in midweek, but that was at home, their first home win in quite a while. You look at the last 4 results at home for Oxford, and they beat York 4-0, they beat Dagenham 4-0, so they clearly can do it. But their two teams, they're the bottom two, and they're two teams that are almost cut adrift now. They lost 1-0 at home to Leyton Orient, and then they couldn't get past Stevenage, although they were down to 10 men in that match, so perhaps there's an excuse there. But they've won 21 times this season, which is, you know, impressive, but only 8 of those have come at home. So it's a real concern. They've only picked up 31 points from 20 games. I'm not sure I could be looking at that short price. I just think it's not backable. 30 of their 74 goals have come at home, and they've conceded 17 of their 37 at home. I'd be looking at those handicaps, and I'd be looking at Luton plus a goal, 19-10. They're not a good side, Luton, at all, and they've got a lot to do in order to stand any chance of reaching the playoffs next season. But they're definitely better away from Kenilworth Road, and I'd prefer to be taking them. If you wanted Luton draw no bet, by the way, 5-1, and that is a really, really good price for a side that are better away. I think goals-wise, I think we're probably on the line here, so it could go either way. But at the prices, I prefer to take unders at 19-20. And it may be worth a little play as well on Luton to win either half at 3-1, which again is another huge price, all things considered. Yes, Oxford may well go and hit 5 now, and I suppose you know, do us all in terms of our bets and ruin everything we've said the last 5 minutes. But I just don't trust them. Luton to score alone, Luton to score, yes, 10 to 11. I think that's a great price. Mm. About a side that, you know, have scored six goals in the last four away games. And Oxford showed they can concede to Leighton Orient and Stevenage. So Luton to score 10 to 11, I think, is a decent bet there.
Okay. Right then, what about Naps? It was a winner for you last week, Jack.
Yeah.
Closed the gap on me a little. Pete also had a winner, so he's gone top of the Naps table, the league podcast Naps table, that is. What's it going to be for you this week?
I really like the minus one on Bristol Rovers. I really like that. The even money about them to put a few past Yeovil, which I think they will do. They're such a good side, and they need this as well, considering the Yeovil shipped three to Cambridge recently, and they've only scored two goals in the last four games. I really fancy Bristol Rovers to cover that handicap.
Okay, Bristol Rovers minus a goal, which is even money. Put that together with mine and Pete's Naps from the Championship. I've gone with Brighton to beat Fulham at 8-11, that one on Friday night. And Pete has gone with Birmingham against Burnley, both teams to score. Yes, at even money. So Brighton, both teams to score in Birmingham, Burnley, and Bristol Rovers minus a goal. And that treble comes in at 5.9-1. Probably one of the shortest price trebles that we've put up so far this season. Plenty of doubles have been landing if you've been backing them in maybe Trixies. Maybe that's the way to go about it in future. But it's been a while since we've had a treble up, so hopefully that can land. Thank you very much for joining me, Jack.
No problem.
I have no idea what's happening next week. I know I'm not here. So it could be you, it could be Jason, it could be someone else on this end of the line.
It could literally be anyone.
It's a free-for-all. But best luck with your bets this weekend, and we'll catch up with you soon.
Thanks very much. Speak to you soon.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.